Amen. Fantastic. So you've got your little booklets, and your little booklets will help you see where we are going this morning. We've already looked at the fact that the big picture doesn't change, that he is the vine, we are the branches, that we need to remain in him if we are to bear much fruit. But now I want to talk about what it looked like for the early church and what it will also look like for us if we choose to dedicate ourselves to a life of bearing fruit, a life of mission for Jesus. And I want to suggest to you this morning that it looks like three things. And I believe that as leaders, as we've prayed about this, God has put this language on our hearts. I believe it looks like eyes open. I think it looks like front foot. And I think it looks like arms outstretched. Eyes open, front foot, arms outstretched. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And in order to do that, we're going to look at an account in Scripture in Acts chapter 3 and moving into chapter 4 as we go on. It's an account of Peter and John and one of the first miracles that is performed after Jesus has risen again and ascended. And we're going to look at Peter and John and see how their eyes were open, they were on the front foot, and their arms were outstretched, and how I believe God would call us to the same thing. First thing we're going to look at is eyes open. And so if you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1, this wonderful, wonderful account. Verse 1, one day in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When Peter and John were about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. We'll stop there. What do I mean by eyes open? Well, in your little booklet, you've got this text. It says, "We will be those always on the lookout for opportunities to get to know God better and make him known to those around us. We will look to those opportunities already available and expect God to open our eyes to exciting new opportunities for us to co-work with him to build his kingdom." I think we live in something of an eyes down culture. So our eyes can always be down at the smartphone or at the computer screen or at the newspaper. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of doing something that is so everyday. So whatever your everyday is, your commute, your workplace, you're going from A to B to C and then back to A again. And by the time you get back to A again, you think, how did I do that? I don't even remember the left or the right turns on my commute. But you've done it so often that you just do it on autopilot. Do you ever get in that situation? Just autopilot days, which means that the everyday becomes, well, exactly that. The everyday becomes everyday. It becomes routine. It becomes run-of-the-mill. It becomes eyes down. And you don't really notice who was next to you on the train or the bus or the lunch queue or the shopping aisle because you're in eyes down mode. You're in everyday mode. This beggar that we meet in Acts chapter 3 had an everyday, and we're told what that everyday is. He was being carried to the temple courts to beg. That was his daily activity. That was his life. And it mustn't have been an enthralling, exciting life for him. This was his every day, which I think is interesting because of Peter and John. Peter and John, who I think we can safely assume had probably walked past this gate before, particularly in the last couple of weeks. They'd probably seen this man before. But on this day, today, they really see him. They see him afresh. They see him anew. Their eyes are open to him. And today, this day, Their eyes are open to make something that's just everyday spectacular. Something that's just everyday, something that builds the kingdom of God. It's open eyes that change the everyday into something spectacular. Something in which we can build the kingdom. I believe that when it comes to church, there is a corporate and individual everyday. Okay, so we are Hope Church, which means that when we come together, we do things together, corporately. We have a together mission. And that plays itself out in loads of different ways, on different days. Every day, in fact, there's something going on that Hope Church is doing together. But of course, the danger is just like our individual everyday, the corporate everyday becomes just as routine. And we forget about the things that we are doing together and the impact that they are having or could be having if we got more involved. And so I do this. I work in this church, so I'm pretty much here every day, apart from one day, which is Monday, which is my day off. So I get a day off on Monday. So when people say, well, I hate Mondays, I say, I love Mondays. But every once in a while, I do have to come into work on a Monday because there's something going on. And so I remember a few months ago, I had to come into work on a Monday, and I remember arriving and trying to park, and you can't park here, so trying to park, and thinking, it's very busy here. And then I remember thinking, the front doors are open. And I walk in through the front doors, and I go, oh yeah, Little Feet happens on a Monday, right? Little Feet, the toddler group that we run every week. And I, as the lead elder of this church, had got up and come here and forgotten that we run a toddler group on a Monday, right? To my shame, but to show you that it's so easy to do. And I walk in and I walk through and I see, this is brilliant. They've got a sign out front that says you can't come in because we're full, because this building has a capacity and we have to turn families away. And so you think, wow, this is brilliant. And I had, in the routine of it, forgotten about it completely. And I remember a couple of months ago as well, I was talking to Mark Humphreys after his Monday night group, now called Get Real. At the time, it was called Youth Alpha. And okay, if I can tell you, Gage, how we work in our office, Mark is an optimist and like a high extrovert, right? And I am like a pessimist. And if we do Myers-Briggs, I'm like somewhere in between introvert and extrovert, right? So what happens in the office is that Mark, on a Tuesday morning, says, whoa, it was amazing last night. There were like 50 kids here, and we preached the gospel, and they were listening. And I'm saying, all right, Mark. So optimists go high numbers, pessimists go low numbers, right? That's how it works. And Mark always says, we had 100 kids. And I say, it was more like 82 kids or something, Mark. You know, that's how it works. So I'm sitting there on a Tuesday morning saying, Mark, yeah, that's great. That's really good. Well done, Mark. That's fantastic. And then he says, you should come on a Monday night and you should talk about baptism. This was about 6 months ago. And I said, I think you've overestimated where you've got to with these kids, Mark. All right, but I'll come along and I'll talk about baptism if you want me to do that. And so I come along and lo and behold, he's not lying to me on a Tuesday morning. All these kids are here who I've never met and I have no idea where they've come from. And they're here to listen to the gospel. Teenagers who the world will tell you will come nowhere near a church are desperate to come here on a Monday night and hear the gospel. And I'm talking to them about baptism and people get baptized. Last year, young people, teenagers, were baptized in this church because they'd heard the gospel and given their life to Jesus. We haven't experienced that in a long time. That was exciting. And that's in the everyday of church life. And I was just like, well, yeah, that's something that happens on a Monday night. I did the Christmas talk at Options this year. And I'm always here on a Tuesday morning. I'm upstairs. Right, so I don't see what, they don't let me in because Options is a women's group, if you don't know. But they let me in to do the talk at Christmas. And I come in and there's 30 or so women, the vast majority of whom I don't know and they don't know Jesus. And yet they come every week to hear the gospel. And this is replicated day after day in the corporate life of Hope Church. Things going on, things happening. And the danger is that our eyes are closed or our eyes are down. And these are just the things that we do. And I think just a very simple thing that we need to do at the beginning of 2017 is, if we consider Hope Church our home, say, let me remind myself, let me open my eyes to what's happening here so that I can think again, how can I be involved? So it's not just the things I've mentioned. It's the drop-in on a Friday and the food bank and the job club. It's the monthly visits to old people's home. It's the visits to the ill and the vulnerable that happen throughout the month. It's the things that we can have our eyes down to. But if we look up and say, oh, how can I be involved? And it would be great if we do that, because I think the least of how we can be involved, each individual one of us, is to pray. So you might say, well, I can't help on a Monday morning, I work. Or I can't help at a youth club because young people don't like me and I don't like young people. And that's okay. But you can pray. We can pray. We can pray that these wonderful things that are happening continue to happen. And maybe, just maybe, as we open our eyes to these things and the things that make a Sunday morning work and the people that sing up here and serve coffee out there and welcome in here, then we'll each say, I can get involved in that. I can get involved in that. And of course, that's not just on each one of us. I think it's particularly on those of us who lead in the church. Because I would say, as we've gone through this process of hearing God for this year, I've seen myself that we're not particularly good at celebrating and speaking about the things that we do. So the reason that we're doing a Vision Sunday is because we've always done that on a Tuesday church family meeting. And not loads of people come to a Tuesday church family meeting. I'm not saying that to get at anybody. I'm just saying Sunday mornings are where families can come together. It's where more people can come together. So why are we using opportunities where less people are at to talk about the things that we should be speaking to more people about? And so we've got to be using these Sunday mornings together to be saying, this is happening on a Monday. This is happening on a Friday. This is happening every month, every year. We've got to get involved in this. We've got to be better at saying, this is what we do. Because there's every chance that there were some of you in this room who, as I listed those things, said, I never even knew that happened. I was talking to someone a couple of months ago who was relatively new to the church, and they were saying, I guess it makes sense that you don't run a food bank because you're in Beaconsfield. And I said, we do run a food bank. We run it every Friday. Because one of our key values is that one of the worst things to be is a poor person in a rich community. And so that it might just be a few people, but those few people need the support of a church. And so we do, but we don't talk about it enough. So that people can pray and get involved when they want to get involved. Our eyes need to be open. Beyond the corporate everyday, there's your everyday. That's much more what Peter and John are experiencing in this passage in Acts. Your everyday, your A to B to C and back to A again. And the people on the bus next to you, and the people on the train next to you, and the people you have lunch with who you don't even notice sometimes, but there might be an opportunity to share the gospel. There might be an opportunity to display the love of Christ. We need to open our eyes to our everyday. So that when we wake up, we don't just click our way into the routine and go through it, but we say, God, would you open my eyes to the people around me? Would you open my eyes to the opportunity? So just as Peter and John see this guy who they've probably seen before, but on that day, they really see him. How amazing would it be if we go through our days seeing the people we've seen before, but we really see them. We see their need, and we see the opportunities that we have to meet that need. And it's when we open our eyes that the everyday can become something spectacular. I'm convinced that 2017 is a year in which God wants to bear much fruit in this church, more than we've asked and more than we could imagine. But we need to have our eyes open to the opportunities that we do together and that only you can get to as the hands and feet of Jesus in your everyday. Eyes open. What's next? Front foot. In your little booklet, it says this: with faith, we will wait and pray, expectant that God will bring us new opportunities to do more for him. When they arise, we will step into them, knowing that God has promised to equip us by his Spirit and wants to use us when we step out in faith. Let me read to you some more words from the book of Acts, continuing in verse 6 of chapter 3. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who sat by the gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The language of front foot is confidence. If you're on the back foot, you're on the defensive. You're expecting to receive an attack, and you're expecting perhaps to lose that attack, and you're desperately trying to save face. Is that Peter and John here? When their eyes have been opened to an everyday circumstance in which the kingdom can be built, do they back away, full of doubts and questions? No, I think they start to understand in this very moment the things Jesus had been saying to them before he was ascended. Jesus saying, "Wait, and my power will come to you, and then you will be witnesses." They're starting to understand that. The power of God's in us, so that we can witness to him right now. Maybe Peter's starting to understand in particular when Jesus said to him, "Peter, I will build my church on you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." They're realizing, and we need to realize, that the Christian faith isn't about being prevailed on. It isn't about being on the defensive. The Christian faith is about prevailing. It's about being on the front foot. It's about being filled with the courage of God to take our eyes open everyday opportunities. Being on the front foot and saying, "What I have, I give to you." That's what Peter and John said. "What I have, I give to you." For them in that moment, it was a miraculous thing. They had the power of God in order to pray for this man to be healed. We need to expect far much more of the miraculous amongst us as a community of God. If we believe, and I hope that we do, if we believe that when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit and promised that we would do what he did and even more, if we believe that that wasn't just for folks like Peter and John, but for us as well, then we need to pursue these miraculous acts. We need to be those who pursue healing. And not just within these four walls, outside of these four walls. In fact, I would argue Scripture shows healing to be something that should happen outside of the church far more than inside of the church. It should be something that we have eyes open opportunities to. Somebody in our life who's ill, unwell, sick, God will give us the opportunity to pray for them to be healed. We should pursue that more. We should pursue prophecy more. In a year where I do firmly believe God will be asking us to do much that takes us out of our comfort zone, we need to hear his voice clearly. And you don't just hear it from one person at the front of the church. The church is a community of people. And so from you, we must hear the word of God, the prophetic voice of God. We must pursue it more. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. These miraculous gifts are for today. But it isn't just about the miraculous, it's about whenever our eyes are open to an opportunity, being on the front foot to take it and extend the kingdom. When we see somebody in need of God's love, when we see somebody in need of community, well, what do I have? I have God's love. I have the community around me. I can reach out to them in that. When we see someone in need of resource practically, what do I have? Maybe I've got silver and gold that I could give to them to help them and build the kingdom. Instead of being on the back foot and constantly finding the reasons why not to do it, this year let's be those who say, "I'm going to step forward into this, believing that God would equip me by his Spirit and give me all I need to, in this moment, extend his kingdom. In this moment, do something powerful for him." Maybe it's in the area of sharing the gospel. Maybe you'll have more opportunities this year. In your everyday, you have more opportunities than you could ever know to display God's love and to share the gospel. Maybe you'll find those this year. And be more courageous to step into them and say, I'm going to take that. I'm going to say whatever faltering words I can, believing that God will equip them and use them to demonstrate his power. And we don't need to be those who are desperately trying to see people saved. Saving people is God's work. We need to be those desperately trying to share the gospel and sow the seed. It's all we can do. But we can do it. Maybe it's in the area of generosity. If God's asking us to do more, he'll be asking us to give more. More of our time, more of our energy, more of our money, more of our resources. This year, that might be asked of us. So we must be those who on the front foot say, yes, I'm going to give more of myself. Yes, I'm going to give more of my time. Yes, I'm going to give more of my resources. Because if this opportunity, if God has opened my eyes to something that's for him, then it's good that I give everything I can in order to do it. You know, usually a front foot attitude will cost us something. Usually it'll mean we'll have to leave behind something comfortable to go into something courageous. But when we do that, God smiles upon it. God uses us when we step out in faith. Just to share another corporate picture of that, last year, at the about mid-2015, we really felt as leaders, God say, I've got something new for you and more for you in the area of children's and families work. And we as church leaders thought, we had a plan, okay, about we look ahead, we don't just make this stuff up, we have a plan about when we're going to employ more people and what those kind of people are going to be. And so we're looking ahead and we're thinking, so Chris is going to go part-time and then maybe we can bring somebody else on and it's probably going to be somebody part-time to do some administration work because Tom's terrible at administration. And so we have this kind of plan in place. And then God says, actually, I'm laying on your heart that you need someone to lead your children's and families work. And so we say, okay, but we don't have the money for that. So we, in our everyday, okay, so in our budget, we spend more money than we get, right? Ian always stands up here at a church family meeting. We're still spending more money than we're getting, okay? That's what we do. But there's this big reserve pot of money, and we're saying, oh no, that's saved for strategic building purposes. And God's saying, well, this is a strategic building purpose. I want to build your children's and families work. And there's a guy here who's doing it as a volunteer, and he could do much more if you released him from work and employed him to do this. We're on the back foot. We're saying, well, can we hold off a year? Can we hold off 18 months? Do we really need to do this now? But I remember the meeting where we got together as elders and wider leaders. We had a day together. And I remember just a sense of faith of people saying, no, this is the right thing to do. The right thing to do. If you were here on Tuesday night, you would have heard Mark saying, we've just seen incredible growth this year in terms of our kids and families. Incredible growth. Monday nights, the Get Real group, amazing. I drop Elise off on Friday nights to a youth club that we run in the Curzon Centre. And I dropped her off on Friday, and I said, how many here tonight, Mark? And he said, low night, 43. Low night, 43. I think there's some logistical problems with that, to be honest. But low night, 43. The amount of families that we are reaching into now in the space of a year, because we were on the front foot when God opened our eyes to an opportunity, is amazing. God wants to do that corporately with us this year. He wants to do that with you individually. When he opens your eyes to an opportunity, a front foot step will take you further than you even know. It took Peter before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, where he was able to boldly state, there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but Jesus Christ. A front foot step will take you further than you could ever believe. Eyes open, front foot. It's what we need to be this year. I think that's enough for now. Here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to sing again. We're going to sing a song of faith. We're going to sing a song of expectancy about waiting on God. And what I'd like us to do, just before we do that, just as the band begin to make their way up, I'm going to ask each and every one of us to just turn to the person next to us. Right? So that might be. I find it so exciting that when you read through Acts chapter 3 and 4, when you get to the end of Acts chapter 4, you might think that we're going to thrust into a book about Peter and John And to an extent, there are individuals who are important, and the Bible and the books are based around individuals who are important. But let me tell you this, the Bible is effectively about two people. It's about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's about the people of God. That's us. That's you and me. That's what the Bible's about. It's a love story about God and his people. And so when we get to the end of Acts chapter 4, it's not talking about individuals. It's talking about the church. It says in Acts 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. And the most important thing about this, as we move forward, to be eyes open, front foot people, is that we do it together, that we do it with one another, that we stretch out our arms to include those who may not yet be included. That is so, so vital. And I think if God laid anything, and he did, on my heart for you this morning, for Hope Church this morning, it's this, that as we do the things that we love, and as we do the things this year that our eyes are opened to, we need to immediately click in our head away from, okay, how do I do this on my own, to how can I reach out my arms and include others in this? Because what happens in church life, and what happens in a church of our kind of size, is that as new people come to join us, they can find it quite hard to get involved if the people who are already here are not saying, how can I involve other people? How can I look to those who have come along to this church and say, well, here's something that I love to do. I'm talking completely non-spiritually here, first and foremost. What are the things that you love to do? Maybe you love to watch the rugby. Maybe you love to watch sports on TV. Maybe you love to eat. Come on, who doesn't love to eat? Maybe you love to ride your bike. Maybe you love to go for a run. Maybe you love to go out for coffee. How can you this year say, how can I do the things that I love with my brothers and sisters in Christ? How can I look across this church and say, well, I don't know that person so well. And it looks, to be honest, like they don't know many people so well. Because maybe they haven't been here as long as I have. And instead of getting in the routine every day of, this is my seat and these are the people that I know. No. What do I love to do? And how can I involve others in that? That's a really good question for each one of us to ask at the start of this year. And not just what we love to do, but what we're called to do. And so the things that you do as part of the church, or the things that your eyes are open to throughout this year, think, how can I involve others in that? So that they can get involved, but also so that you can do them effectively. Because you were never called to be a superhero on your own, changing the world for Jesus. You were called to be part of the church. And the only way you'll effectively minister for God is to be part of the church, with those people who are stronger than you in certain areas, strengthening you, and you strengthening them. It's only when we work as one body, arms outstretched to one another, actively, intentionally, getting out of our own individual bubbles, to say, how can I involve others in my life? Take advantage of what the church has in order to do that. Take advantage of life group. Take advantage of the times where we come together to pray. Take advantage of West Point and weekends away and days with each other. Take advantage of these things. And say, I'm going to be there so I can build relationships with the people who I might not know so well yet. And we're going to form a family that loves one another and that demonstrates so clearly to the world the love of Christ that the world so clearly needs to see. Because we live in a divided world. A world defined by talk of walls and barriers, and the church needs to change the conversation and say, look at a community of love and grace where we stretch out our arms to one another to work together to make a difference. Arms outstretched is so vital. Just think practically about what you're going to do about that when you go from this place. Who can you get to know who you don't know so well? What do you love to do and who can you involve in it? That's a really good question to ask. But what we're going to do now is
finish our time together. I'm going to pray. Band's going to come up, sing a song or two just to finish our time.